Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download the Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Wednesday. Field, Daniel, and Kyle here hanging out. Daniel is back. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. Good to have you back here. Good to have a show where we talk ranks, plus all kinds of questions pertaining to the playoffs. We've got a few updates, some news, actually a lot of news. Kyle, what's going on, my friend?
Not much.
I was good over there.
Shows. Yeah, we're doing good.
Love our Wednesday shows.
Can I say something real fast?
Of course, yeah.
I freaking love having Kyle on our staff. Because you know why? Because he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's incredible, because I know if I'm ever not going to be here for something, like, we've got a stinking rock star that's going to be able to be here and make sure the show stays on its wheels.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, Kyle, I appreciate you for the last couple days.
Most versatile, hardest working person you could find here at ESPN. Amen. Well said by Daniel there. And before we get to our injury updates, and we'll start with some news out of Cleveland, we wanted to mention this. Thousands, as you are probably aware, have been affected by southern and midwestern tornadoes. If you'd like to help, and any amount can certainly go a long way, please consider visiting redcross.org/ESPN. Again, that's redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. It has been a very, very difficult time for a huge part of our country. There are villages, there are towns, there are locations that have been decimated, and it has just been so, so tough to watch and see the scenes. There is a lot going on in our country right now, but we are thinking about anybody that may have been impacted. Family members may have been impacted, a community impacted. We're thinking about all of you, and no amount is too small here, right? And we are in the season where we talk about it is better to give than to receive. If you have it within you, redcross.org/ESPN, your donations can go a long way in helping to get those communities back on track. We're thinking about you. All of the regions impact. We know the great state of Kentucky, amongst the places that have been the most impacted. We're thinking about all the states and all the villages, all the communities, all the people that have been impacted by these natural disasters. Again, there's really no easy way to turn from that, but we have to go to, unfortunately, more disappointing news, and it pertains to another issue that is continuing to be a huge problem in our country, Daniel, and that is COVID-19. Yep. And we found out earlier yesterday that the Browns had placed 8 players on the reserve COVID-19 list. Those players include wide receiver Jarvis Landry plus tight end Austin Hooper. 6 more players, including quarterback Baker Mayfield, have been placed on the list as of this morning. The Browns have dealt with a number of COVID-19 issues in recent weeks. By the way, head coach Kevin Stefanski has also been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Well, there's not technically a list, but he has tested positive for COVID-19. It's Wednesday. The Browns play on Saturday, so Thursday would be a normal week, almost like a Thursday to Sunday window. Anybody who is vaccinated can test negative twice, 24 hours apart, and return to action on Saturday, Daniel. Seems unlikely that's going to happen, but just a reminder. So right now, the Browns offense could be without, and this seems likely, certainly possible, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, Jedrick Wills, left tackle, Wyatt Teller, right guard. Kareem Hunt's going to be out on Saturday. It is going to be a little bit of a mash unit on Saturday night for the Browns against the Raiders.
I want to ask you a question just to make sure that I'm not an idiot here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also saw in a different sport that there were a couple of games that were suspended in the NBA just because of this. Is there ever a situation, or are we close to a situation, where this is something that would happen with the NFL? Don't I remember at the beginning of the year them saying, like, under no circumstances are we moving games, rather than get a cancel, someone's going to... Is that like a situation that could happen as we get closer, just because we've seen so much happen as we've gotten into this, you know, flu season?
Yeah, the big difference between the NFL and the NBA/NHL is just the number of players, right? Yeah. That if you lose 5 players in the NBA, it's half third of your roster, right? Yeah. Whereas in the NFL, it's less than 10% of your roster, especially with practice squad players available right now. As of this morning, and we are recording this podcast at 11:03 Eastern time on Wednesday morning, there is no discussion surrounding the possibility of moving the game on Saturday afternoon. Keep in mind, the Browns play on Christmas Day, which is not this upcoming Saturday, obviously, but a week. So they go back-to-back Saturday games for the Browns. So it's possible that that's part of the calculation, because if you move the game on Saturday of this week, next thing you know, you've got a truncated week the following game.
Yeah.
Also worth noting that it's December 15th. Christmas, obviously, December 25th. It's possible some of these players that are unavailable now might be unavailable again in week 16. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. They play the Packers on Christmas Day, but a lot going on in Cleveland right now. I will say this. The players that are left over, Nick Chubb obviously is going to be very busy on Saturday afternoon. Jarvis Landry has been better recently for the Browns. That leaves Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, although he has been in the concussion protocol as well recently, Rashard Higgins. Like, there are very few reliable pass catchers in this Browns offense. David Njoku, as of right now, remains on the COVID-19 list, but if he's activated or if Harrison Bryant's available, you could see those kind of players contribute on Saturday. Right now, I would feel risky playing any Browns pass catcher on Saturday afternoon, absent of being a daily fantasy option. But I will say, just like the functionality of the offense, I think won't drop off that much at the quarterback spot. I'm not trying to say that Case Keenum's better than Baker Mayfield. Different conversation for a different show.
Sure.
But Baker is a quarterback that has had some ups and downs this year. And I was thinking about this morning. If you were to take the backup quarterback for every NFL team right now, and you had your option to choose any of them to win one game, and I'm not saying Joe Flacco with the Jets roster versus Blaine Gabbert with the Bucks roster. Those are obviously two very different rosters. But like, you could plug Case Keenum or anybody else into an average NFL roster. Which backup quarterback do you trust the most? And I'd make the argument it's Case Keenum. There are more talented guys like Trey Lance is a backup right now. But right now, right? Yeah. Like David Blau, yeah. It's probably Andy Dalton, Case Keenum, one of those guys. Minshew, that's a good one. That's a good one as well, Minshew. So it's probably one of those three or four type of players that fit that mold.
I think Andy Dalton and Case Keenum are the clear number. I like Gardner Minshew too, but it's more about like the excitement around Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
If you tell me fourth quarter, I need a 2-minute drive, like mm-hmm. Case Keenum or Andy Dalton is a guy that I would trust as a backup. Like, they're phenomenal. Yeah.
Those are guys. So anyways, the point is that I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't know that the overall functionality of the offense will drop that much. It's just so hard to have confidence in any single Browns player. As of right now, and again, this is right now, there is no healthy tight end available amongst their top three. Hooper, Njoku, Harris, and Bryant, two of the three on the reserve COVID-19 list, and Bryant has been dealing with an injury. So
tell you what the Browns need to do.
What's that?
They need to go to the waiver wire. They need to pick up a really large wide receiver, and they need to change him to a tight end. That's what we do in Madden all the time.
Smart.
Calvin Benjamin's got to be out there, right?
He is a fantastic tight end. By the way, I have Anthony Schwartz in one of my Madden leagues with my buddy Mike Rothstein. He is so fast.
He's really fast. Yeah, he's awesome.
I am excited to see.
Yeah, he is very fast.
All right.
Let's move things forward here to a former Brown, which is Odell Beckham Jr., another team that's going through it right now in terms of COVID-19 issues. Is the Los Angeles Rams, as Odell Beckham Jr. is amongst the players is placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. This took place yesterday. There are a lot of Rams that have been placed on that COVID-19 list recently. You know, Daryl Henderson's still on that list. Tyler Higbee is already off that list, which indicates that he had a false positive on Monday. He still missed the game, but the Rams have Jalen Ramsey and Odell Beckham Jr. and Daryl Henderson and their starting right tackle, Rob Havenstein. More players, Jordan Fuller. I believe the total right now is 13 between the active roster and the practice squad for the Los Angeles Rams at the moment, Daniel. So I think this means that there's a chance on Sunday against the Seahawks that we see Van Jefferson step into a much larger role. Even though he's been busy recently, he sounds like he's going to be their number two passing game option alongside Cooper Kupp.
So what is a number two passing game option in this offense look like, assuming there's not a third wide receiver that's kind of siphoning those targets away from him? Are you talking top, you know, you're talking top 18 to 22 for Van Jefferson?
Yeah, that sounds about right. That? Yeah, like here, the big question I have with Van Jefferson in a number two role is simply this, is that the volume has been steady. And last week, he had the long touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that he's been running mostly those deep vertical routes, which, as we know, have the opportunity for upside. But they also, he could easily have 7 targets and 3 catches, yeah. Right? So I will be curious to see if the Rams adjust the way in which they utilize Van Jefferson on Sunday if Odell Beckham Jr. is not available. And if they do, that could lead to even more value for him. I think my rankings will probably reflect Van Jefferson being a top 25 wide receiver 25. For right now. Honestly, I don't know where the Rams are going to turn otherwise right now at wide receiver. It's not a position of depth anymore for them. Unfortunately, it was, right?
It really was.
On paper, you have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham Jr., Van Jefferson, your top four. That's as good as you'll find in the NFL. And all of a sudden, two out of those four are unlikely to play. Obviously, Robert Woods is definitely not playing on Sunday. This Rams offense taking on a bit of a different look right now. Van Jefferson will remain probably around a top 25 play, if not creeping up a little bit higher with this news involving Odell. Let's get to some good news on the COVID front, which is that Keenan Allen's been activated for the Chargers. Daniel, no surprise there. He missed last week's game, this past Sunday's game, I should say. The Chargers play on Thursday night against the Chiefs. So Keenan Allen and Mike Williams both expected back. Here to tell you, Josh Palmer, Jalen Guyton. Don't think those are considerations, certainly not in season-long leagues, maybe in daily fantasy, but I would fade otherwise.
100%, and I don't think there's any other reason to talk about it.
Yep, I agree on that. By the way, we'll keep an eye on whether or not just how those guys, like I don't think there'll be any issues there, but whether or not Austin Eckler is limited all the rest of this week. He returned to practice yesterday. Austin Eckler sounds like he's going to play on Thursday. That's according to head coach Brandon Staley of the Los Angeles Chargers. Then one more piece of injury news. James Conner, DeAndre Hopkins have injuries that we are keeping an eye on. Both of them went in for MRIs on Tuesday after their Monday night game. Both of those guys, obviously, big parts of that Arizona offense. Hard to tell how much concern there is, though, given the timing of the injuries.
So we've been going for a couple of weeks without DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver in this offense. I'm just curious, with the potential of having Chase Edmonds coming back, if James Conner misses time, how does this backfield shake out for the rest of what would be the fantasy playoffs in a time where you got to trust the running back that you're starting?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, if James Conner's unavailable, like, I think Chase Evans clearly becomes a must start. Just there's so much opportunity there, right? Yeah. Even though I think there's probably a case that, like, if you could have one or the other only leading that backfield, I think it's pretty clear. Like, if you could only start one Cardinals running back, it would be James Conner, right? Like, he's pretty clearly more effective because
all that touchdown,
better power, much more touchdown potential.
Yeah.
But if Chase Edmonds is available and James Conner is not, you've got yourself real, you know, potential RB1, maybe more like top 12 or 15 in terms of my rankings. With Hopkins, though, I don't know what to tell you, right? Because we saw this for the past few weeks. It's not like, unless Kyle has numbers to back up differently, it's not like one guy consistently stood out and it was like, wow, Christian Kirk all of a sudden the top 12 wide receiver week in and week out. That's not the case, right? I mean, you're throwing a dart with AJ Green, Christian Kirk. I think we can pass on Rondell Moore.
I was just going to say
that. I think that ship probably has sailed for this year.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have a random good game here or there, but I just don't think it's likely that if DeAndre Hopkins missed multiple games again, that all of a sudden you're going to have a guy that clearly steps up and it's Rondell Moore.
I think Zach Ertz would be more likely be that third target.
Yeah, he's been busy as well. He's been good for them. Let's come back and discuss quarterback rankings. I'm going to pass the baton over to you to host this thing, Daniel.
Yes, please.
But before we do that, a reminder that Capital One Bowl Mania is coming. Bowl start Friday, and we'll be creating a fantasy focus group for both that and the NFL playoffs on the Pigskin Pick'em side of things. So stay tuned. We will tweet out the links as they get up and going. You want to challenge me or Daniel or Kyle or Matthew or Stefania or Not Cool Keith, anybody, you name it, Mike Clay, we will have the opportunity to do exactly that. I love bowl season. It's always fun. I like to watch these games in random locations. I like to watch the SEC versus Pac-12 matchups, the ACC versus the Big Ten matchups, you name it, I'm into it. And I cannot wait for bowl season to begin. Again, it starts on Friday. We will have links available for you once those go live.
And Field, we just did last week a first draft podcast in case anyone is interested. I just want to say this. You don't watch college football. If you're like, man, I love football. I just don't have time in my life to watch college football. First draft is where it is at because Field gets to sit down with two of the smartest draft people that we have at this company.
Yeah.
And if you want to know a quick fantasy insight and get a little bit of a groundwork kind of information from them, like, it's such a great time to listen. So check that out as well. I just want to say we're going to come back live daily. Excuse me, January 11th.
Yeah, I think weekly, not daily.
Did I say daily?
Yeah.
Weekly.
That'd be a lot of podcasting.
January
11th. Todd and Mel. Todd and Mel.
They do too much as it is.
Mel and Todd. They're the best. They're absolutely the best. Todd's Mock Draft 1.0 is out. It's available right now. If you want to get to know, if you want to know some of the names. And I always think about, like, teams with, like, it's one thing, like, it's tough right now, obviously, to be a Jaguars fan. There's a lot to be frustrated by.
Sure.
Right? But, and there are other teams that are frustrated by, you know, a variety of things too. But, like, if you're a Jets fan, as difficult as things have been this year, like, you can look forward and say, wait. Even though Zach Wilson's rookie season has been uneven, there's a reason we took him number two overall, and we potentially have two first-round picks in the top 10. Like, the Jets can move up the ranks fast with a couple of good drafts, keep stacking those together. This is why we look forward to the draft season. Kyle tells me he has the Cardinals all wide receiver two numbers. What can you confirm or deny?
In four of the last five games, they've had a wide receiver two that was a top 30 receiver. It's just a matter of figuring out who it was. It was obviously three different guys over that stretch.
Three different
four
guys.
Out of five. So
yeah, so they're right.
Decent chance
what's
does
the ceiling,
it.
Though? Yeah, but what's top 30?
Well, so we get back to this comes back to a question that we talk about a lot this time of the year is that, like, again, I was talking about the Browns offense. I think it'll function okay. Like, I don't expect them to score 6 points on Saturday. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns score 28 points on Saturday. I just don't know who's going to score touchdowns. Like, the only person I feel confident will have a great day is Nick Chubb. Beyond that, I have no idea. Like, they could promote someone from the practice squad and he could score a 75-yard touchdown and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's fantasy football in a nutshell. You want to rank?
Yeah, you want to do this?
Let's do it. Let's do some ranks.
Let's talk about some quarterbacks, Field. I want to talk about Taysom Hill first, because Taysom Hill, let me just say this. I started him last week in my CSS DFS lineup, and first little bit of the game, I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
But man, the guy just comes on in fantasy.
First 75% of the game, you were nervous.
Yeah, you're right. But he just comes on in fantasy every single week. This week, though, he gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In six starts, he has over 17.5 points in each of those starts. But Tampa's a good defense. You have him inside your top 10 this week?
I do, and I'm just trusting the numbers here, right? Is that, like, it's probably going to be ugly for Taysom Hill, and yet I have a hard time defying it. I'm sure there's going to come a point where Taysom Hill does not have a fantasy start with 17.5 or more fantasy points in that game.
Sure.
That being said, I know the Bucs are a really, really good defense. I'm totally aware of that, and, like, I'm nervous a little bit here. But this is a week in which we got a lot of weird, like, we got a lot of quarterbacks trending in the wrong direction right now, right? Like, we've got Lamar Jackson banged up and not playing as great recently. Patrick Mahomes not playing as great recently, right? I mean, he's still Patrick Mahomes, but three of his past seven games, zero passing touchdowns. There have been far fewer quarterbacks that have been on a heater recently than there have been in most years. Josh Allen's banged up right now. Like, these are just amongst the examples of players that are not necessarily the same level of lock as they were. Russell Wilson, who's calling him a lock these days, right?
Absolutely, right.
So, Taysom Hill, going back to it, right? Like, he's going to get rushing attempts. And if you just count on 10 rushing attempts from Taysom Hill, I'm expecting that to result in somewhere around, like, at minimum 40 rushing yards, and that's a 4-point head start. I do think there's a chance that this game is not as close as their previous meetings have been. Obviously, New Orleans has won three times against Tom Brady in the regular season since he's become a Buck. He's never beaten them in the regular season as a Buck. I don't know this game is quite as close. New Orleans has just been so limited by injuries recently. But he'll find a way, man. Like, I can't tell you specifically how it'll happen. I just expect Taysom Hill to find a way.
Totally agree.
And, like, there are other quarterbacks that, you know, whether it's a Dak Prescott or as an example, like, there are other quarterbacks that might, on paper, seem like a safer bet. I think Taysom Hill is starting to emerge as one of those safer bet players.
I expect Tampa to score a lot of points, and as a part of that, we've seen Taysom Hill put up starting quarterback numbers even when he throws four interceptions.
Yeah.
Right? So even if they get down, you know he's going to be heavily involved, whether the dump off passes or taking shots or using his legs. So I like him as a top 10 option as well. Let's talk about Big Ben. Over 19 fantasy points in three of his last four games since missing week 10, Field. Taking on the Tennessee Titans this week, is there any chance that you see him as somebody here in the start of the playoffs that you're like, here's a streaming option for me, or you think you're fading Ben mostly this week?
So I thought about that and I was leaning that way at first. And why I decided to change things up is because this Titans offense right now, as we know, is predicated upon running the football. It always was, but right now it really is because there's no AJ Brown for at least one more game. And so I was trying to figure out, like, could the Steelers fall behind 21-0 in this game, which has been what's ailed them over the past few weeks, right? Part of why Ben's resurgent is you get down huge against the Vikings, 29-0. You get down big, or you're in a shootout game with the Chargers a few weeks ago, right? You allow 40-plus points in back-to-back games. Like, this Pittsburgh offense is throwing because they have to, not because they want to, right? They have made it very clear what they want to do. Tennessee strikes me as a team that's more likely to win because they grind out long drives and they maintain a 10-point lead consistently as opposed to a 30-point lead, right? Even their game against Jacksonville last week was not super close. I mean, obviously Jacksonville didn't score a point, but it wasn't like it. I mean, the final was 20-0. I'm pretty sure, and Kyle can correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm pretty sure it was 10-0 at half, right? So, like, that game was a little slower in terms of the electric plays on offense from Tennessee than I think it might be in other games. Confirmed 10-0 at halftime. So my point is that I think this is a low scoring game.
Yeah.
A lower scoring game, right? Like, Pittsburgh certainly is capable of putting up points. Tennessee is as well, but I expect this to be the kind of game that if Tennessee wins it, it's more like 21-16 as opposed to 34-29, which has become like a pretty regular occurrence for Pittsburgh over the past few weeks. Score a bunch, but let up even more.
Yeah. I don't want to trust Big Ben going into my playoffs. It is tough, though, because when I look at him and I look at some of the other streaming options, I love the idea that he's got Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool.
Yeah, you got options. Pat
Freiermuth. Like, he's got so many more options than some of these other guys, but I'm with you. I just don't like him as much this week. All right. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since week 11, quarterback 23 on a per game basis, 13.5 points per game. That's behind. Do you know who that's behind?
Tell me.
Zach Wilson.
Really?
Zach Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, since week 11.
That's absurd.
Is averaging fewer fantasy points at quarterback than Zach Wilson. Field, fantasy playoffs, win or go home.
Yeah.
Can you bench a guy like Patrick Mahomes, knowing what he can bring in spite of the struggles that he has had recently?
It would take a pretty unique circumstance for me to bench Patrick Mahomes. The only quarterback that I think has been largely available in recent weeks that was a conversation is Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
But because I expressed some skepticism about Taysom Hill's matchup, like acknowledging how good Tampa Bay is, that would be the reason why I would still lean towards Patrick Mahomes. And I think part of the reason why I'm confident is not just because he's Patrick freaking Mahomes and he still has a lot of upside when he plays really well, is that I don't think this is going to be the kind of game where the Chiefs can win and the offense can sputter. They have played phenomenal defense over the past 5 or 6 games. I think there's a chance on Thursday they're tested in a way they haven't been tested in quite some time defensively.
Sure.
I don't know that they're beating the Chargers 17-10, right? I think more likely they're going to beat them, if they do beat them, 37-30. So I'm expecting this to be much more of a shoot. I've got him at quarterback 7, which is much lower than you'd think you'd ever see Patrick Mahomes to enter this season, but I still can't bench him. I think this Chargers defense obviously has some really, really good blue chip players, but they've also got some holes, and I think the Chiefs will try to run the football really effectively against the Chargers because every team runs the football effectively against the Chargers. That being said, 7th for me on my quarterback board, I'm probably not benching Patrick Mahomes this week.
I'm right there with you. I've got him at 7 as well. Consensus is 5. Here's the deal. If you have Patrick Mahomes, you've made it this far, probably in spite of the way that he's been playing.
Right, yeah.
So I love the idea that, like, yes, it's scary. Yes, I don't love it, but this is lowering expectations, not taking him out of your lineup.
Yeah, pretty common phrase you hear around this time of the year.
Yes, it is.
Lowering or raising expectations, but not benching a guy because, as we often refrain, and I wrote this in the waiver wire column, is that, like, I think it was last week, like, kind of know your needs for the rest of the season. And it's not the time to overthink it. I understand that, like, the stakes are greater, and, like, I've got fantasy matchups that I am just grinding my, like, I'm going to have like a sore in the back of my neck from scratching it so much, thinking about, like, who do I start? What do I do here? Right. I'm going to go with whatever's been getting me there. Right. And so if you have Patrick Mahomes and you're just sitting there and you're like, all right, well, like, I'm a third seed of my league. Like,
or do I play?
Hasn't been perfect.
Tua, who's like, taking on the Jets, Tua, this week.
You know, and like, that's a little bit tantalizing and I get it. It's like, you know what? Like, go with your gut. Always tell people, go with your gut. And if it's carried you that far, like, don't overthink it too much. Like, generally speaking, the team that carried you to the playoffs, absent an injury situation, should be the team that you have the most confidence. Not complete confidence in, but, like, generally speaking, at the single position spots, quarterbacks as an example, tight end as an example, like, I tend to ride with who got me there. Tend to. Not right. Always, but I tend to.
So let's talk about this next player then, because here's another guy who has not been a top 20 quarterback in each of his last 2 games, including 3 of his last 4. That is Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Football Giants. And Field, he comes in outside of your top 10 this week at 13.
I'd be curious how many people have Dak Prescott as their quarterback in the playoffs. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of people that do, but I bet the number is a lot lower than it was 2 years ago when Dak was at the peak of his powers, because he has not been good recently. And you just sort of laid out some of the figures there, Daniel, but I am at 13. This Giants defense has been this season. I don't think Chargers fans are too impressed after what they did last week. Leonard Williams, their big-time defensive lineman, is sketchy for this game right now. I don't think he's ever missed a game in his career. He's got an elbow issue now. He might not be able to play, so the Giants cannot rush the passer, or they have not done so nearly consistently enough this year. So there are some reasons for me to think that Dallas can move the football. I don't know. It's just all the things that we've talked about. Like, even Jerry Jones has admitted right now, Dak Prescott's in a slump. And if the Cowboys defense wasn't playing so well, then I might have more confidence that Dak could get out of this slump faster. Because the defense is playing so well, I'm thinking to myself, like, Dak doesn't need to go out there and lead them to a 35-point win, right? They could theoretically clinch the division this weekend. And if they win 24-16, like, that wouldn't surprise me. And there's Jeremy Fowler from ESPN reported that the Giants might get some snaps for Jake Fromm this weekend. Like, they're choosing between Mike Lennon and Jake Fromm. Like, this could be one of those games where Dallas defense just dominates the Giants. I've got them at 13.
Okay. Let me ask you really quickly before we move on from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's a couple of streaming options this week that we all like.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo is at least an option taking on the Falcons. That's a nice matchup there. Kirk Cousins taking on the Bears. And Tua, we mentioned, taking on the New York Jets. I feel like Tua is my favorite, but do you have one that stands out to you that you say, if there was one streamer option I like this week, this is the matchup in the quarterback I'm pulling for?
Yeah, so it would be Tua as well, but Kirk Cousins isn't far behind. This is where we really need to like divorce ourselves from the names of these players as best you can, right? Like, if I just told you, over the past six games, one quarterback's been in the top 10 four times, you'd be like, okay, I'm playing him, right? And yet, there are going to be people that may have the opportunity to grab Kirk Cousins, and they're going to bypass on him for somebody that's been sputtering, right? So this is the hard, tricky part. You just know what he's capable of, for better or worse. And when I say he, I mean he, whoever your quarterback is. So Kirk Cousins, like him against Chicago Monday night, I have not checked the weather. That's the only thing that would make me a little skittish. Let me see if I can pull it up on my app right now and see what the weather is for Chicago. Just because I learned a couple of Mondays ago that you never know, especially this time of the year in the Northeast or the Midwest. Monday looks cold, whatever. Cold, no rain. Nothing crazy with wind. I'm good there. Okay. Chicago playing, I'm fine with that one. Kirk Cousins, I like. And then Tua as well, right? And Tua's a tricky one because it's not like it's a bunch of explosive plays for the Miami offense, and there's going to be no Will Fuller this week. We have no idea he's going to play running back for them this week, but I do think they can beat the Jets still and do so fairly handily. He's completed 80% of his passes over the past three games. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
That's unreal. All right, let's talk about a couple of running backs here. Yeah. Start with the Cowboys. Do we have any updates on Tony Pollard, obviously, coming back from the foot injury on that long touchdown run that looked beautiful?
No update as of yet for Tony Pollard. The Cowboys hit the practice field later on today, so as of right now, I am planning for Pollard to play, but we'll keep an update on that. We'll keep you updated on that, I should say. And I still have Zeke, obviously, clearly ranked ahead of Tony Pollard.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, they're taking on the Giants this week.
Mm-hmm.
Week five against the Giants, Zeke had 23 touches, 112 yards, two touchdowns, 25.2 fantasy points. That was his second best game of the year. Understanding that Tony Pollard might be limited, or maybe he might not be 100%. Think you see that kind of 100 yards and two touchdowns is ridiculous, but do you think you see a big game from Zeke from that standpoint?
I don't. And there are a lot of reasons why. First of all, week five is a long time ago, like just in life, but the Giants defense was a different defense at that point, and the Cowboys offense is a different offense right now. Offensive line's got injury issues. Tyron Smith has been banged up recently. They are just, and we said this a couple days ago, this is no longer an elite offensive line. I had this conversation with Todd Archer, who does an amazing job covering the Cowboys for us here at ESPN. He joined us on the radio show I do on Sundays called Primetime, 5 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Radio. And he was like, you know, it's just time for us to stop talking about them in that way, right? Or like, maybe we need to think about that. Because for a while it was, hey, the Cowboys dominant offensive line, Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, Travis Frederick and all those players, Lyle Collins, et cetera, et cetera. Not them anymore, right? And then Zeke is obviously dealing with something. Stefania told us on Sunday it's a PCL injury. And yes, he's still powering through and he's not going to sit. Not the same player right now, and maybe he never will be, but maybe he will be, and this is just a real legitimate injury. And you just look at the way the Cowboys managed him last week. Last week, he was on the field to start the game, No Tony Pollard, and there was then a stretch where Zeke was like a ghost for a while, to the point that I was like, did I miss an injury update on Zeke? And I don't know if the Cowboys, because they had a big lead, 24-0 over Washington, were like, hey, let's just be smart here. We'll take the bigger picture approach. But they eventually brought Zeke back in when the game got closer. It wasn't like he was particularly effective. But if the Cowboys are managing Zeke's snaps, like what if they do get up big against the Giants? And by the way, last week they got a big without Zeke doing a ton.
You're right.
Then what happens, right? Like if Dak Prescott, you know, if they could score two defensive touchdowns on Sunday in the first half and it wouldn't surprise me. So I've got Zeke as running back 14, but the number of running backs that are just like true dominant top 10 every single week forces is so narrow right now. It is truly remarkable where we're at.
Okay, so we've been talking then to that point, right? Oftentimes, and especially now, we're saying your running back position, a lot of times you just need to go with the guy that's going to be on the field. Someone you know is going to get touches because you have so many injuries that have led you to this point. Chuba Hubbard, as an example, took over for CMC. Here's the good from last week.
Yep.
Received 10 of the 14 running back carries for the Panthers. Here's the bad. He was outsnapped 37-24 by Ameer Abdullah.
Yeah, it's tough. Not going to catch passes. Have to score a touchdown. Playing the Bills on Sunday. A Bills team that I think is going to be very energized to play after back-to-back losses, both of them close, one in overtime, one on Monday Night Football against the Patriots. Like,
yep.
The Bills are going to be playing with their hair on fire on Sunday. I got him at 34. I'd rather not play Chuba Hubbard. Like, this is a fairly standard, straightforward one for me.
I think so, too.
He could fall into the end zone for sure.
No, he couldn't.
But
Cam Newton could fall into the end
zone. That's right. That's a great point. Like, there are better options to fall into the end zone for Carolina. And Carolina's season's gone sideways.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at this Carolina, like, I was...
Think about where it started. Sam Darnold and those 5 rushing touchdowns to start the season.
By the way, still their leading touchdown rusher for the season.
Stop it.
Still, yeah. There's got to be a time, like, I am so not, like, my thing is to not just, like, spend every single day telling these teams what they did not do, like, what they didn't do right. That's not the way that I try to analyze these things because people mess up all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And it's like...
It's easy for us in hindsight to say, well, you should have done this differently.
Right, of course. But the Panthers, like, what a tough string of events with quarterbacks, right? I mean, just like everything over the past couple of years has just been alarming. And so along those lines, Chuba Hubbard, out of my lineup.
Okay. James Robinson taking on the Houston Texans. I like that matchup. Here's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Four straight games with under 12.5 fantasy points, under 60 yards rushing in 5 of his last 6 games. Field... Consensus is 22. You've got him at 26. So he's kind of a flex option for you. But talk to me about James Robinson this week because it's a tough one.
Can you pull, when's the last time James Robinson had 3 catches in a game?
On it.
Because I want to know the answer to that, which leads to me to the rest of this stuff. Like, thank you, by the way, Kyle, for that.
More than 3, November 14th. Okay. He's only done it twice this year.
More than 3, twice 4. In the season.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hardly a factor in the passing game like he was last year.
Yep.
He can't find the end zone.
Yep.
The head coach situation is a disaster right now. I have no idea to trust. Like, I have no idea just because Trevor Lawrence is saying he wants more and more and more James Robinson. Like, who's to say that'll be the case? He's got under 12.5 fantasy points in 4 straight games. I mean, just right now, we got to go to the blind resume type stuff, right? Like,
yep.
This Texans matchup may seem okay on paper. I think the Texans win again on Sunday. Season sweep for the Texans because... I'm not saying things don't have to change in Houston. They do. But when I see those two teams, I see a 2-10 team that I get it. Like, they're overmatched, but they play their butts off every week, at least in Houston.
Yep.
Versus a 2-10 team that I don't quite get with Jacksonville. Like, not like they don't have... They obviously have some major needs, right? But, like, they spent big in free agency this year. They have pieces on paper. Like, who's the best Texans wide receiver besides Brandon Cooks? And you're like, wait, Jacksonville has like Marvin Jones Jr. and LaVisca Chenault. And like they had these James Robinson, they had DJ Chark to begin the year. Like they've got some pieces there, right? Super frustrating right now to watch the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm benching him if I can.
You know, what's frustrating for me watching the Green Bay Packers backfield Field Yates. I just want them to pick one. But they're both so good.
Yeah, not going to happen, right?
It's not.
Yeah.
So at this point in the season, we're now here, like I'm saying this every single time. You're here first week of the fantasy playoffs. You've got both of these guys on your roster. Aaron Jones is an obvious start. Yep. He's the clear-cut number one. You think that's maybe over A.J. Dillon?
I think it's maybe, yeah.
All right, let's talk about that.
This past week we talked about how Aaron Jones got the 2 touchdowns, right? But yep. Kyle, wasn't it like over the 4 games prior to that, like Dillon had the clear points edge, clear rushing yards edge, clear rushing attempts edge, like
he did.
4 yeah. game sample size, that's legitimate. Last week, A.J. Dillon still had the same number or a close to the same number of roles. Like this is 100% a committee, and Aaron Jones cashed in a couple times this past week. He's a good touchdown scorer for sure. He's a good passing game option for sure, but like they're going to be mindful. A.J. Dillon's a good player. Like they've got a good thing going. And not that he's listed on the injury report or anything, at least to my knowledge, but like Aaron Jones recently dealt with a sprained MCL, right? Like they're going to be smart about this. Why wouldn't you be? Like the Packers are playing for bigger things than our fantasy lineups, right?
Sure.
Packers are playing for the Super Bowl. They're playing for a title run this year. Title town. They are the number one seed in the NFC as of right now. Like, I don't see any reason why Matt LaFleur would deviate from his current course, which is a pretty clear snap share. And there are going to be some stretches where when they need to run the clock out, the best thing you can do is hand the ball off to your 260-pound running back and A.J. Dillon, who's the closest thing physically to Derrick Henry having the league right now.
Is he really 260?
Maybe he's 240. I don't know. I mean, his quads alone are like 220, yeah, right?
Big.
Like, whatever.
I don't know.
He's
not huge.
He's jacked out of his mind. He's
not,
huge.
So you're not wrong. Okay. I don't think that I'm disagreeing with you. My question more is from a flex perspective, right? Aaron Jones, you're starting.
I'm playing Jones over Dillon if I have the option. I just know that there's a chance like Aaron Jones gets you 5.5 fantasy points on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a thing that we definitely will monitor with Stefania.
247 pounds.
Okay. So I was off by 13.
That's basically Derrick Henry, though. Like Derrick Henry is basically 247, I think.
Yeah. I mean, these two guys are freaks. AJ Dillon is
Derrick Henry, exactly 247. Yeah. And 3 inches taller.
Wow. Yeah. Dillon's a freak, man. He is unbelievable. He's so super fun to watch. Yeah, there we go. Of course. Tyler had all the notes I was asking for. But yeah, week 14, he had 4 straight top 20 finishes, right? Yeah. So like it seems pretty clear.
All right, let's talk about a couple other guys that might be more flex plays. We're not really sure what's going on here. Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson, assuming he's healthy.
So
taking on Seattle.
I have him in my ranks with the opportunity for him to return to the field this week and practice a couple of times.
Sure.
If he doesn't come off the COVID list until like Friday night or Saturday, I will keep him. I will lower expectations quite a bit, right? Because it's a conditioning thing. Yep. You've been dealing with a virus that's kept you away from the facility for 7 days. If you're, or whatever the number would be, like if you return on Saturday, like I'm not sure I'm playing him. I'm not playing him or Sony Michel, but if he gets back tomorrow, the next day, then I have him ranked as like a top 15 play because I think he's clearly the guy. He's clearly the most talented guy. Clearly the most. Pass catching friendly running back in that offense. So that's why I have him ranked as I do, but just want to make sure people are clear that like if he comes back on Saturday from the COVID-19 list, factoring in time missed due to the virus, plus the fact he's been nursing an injury, I would play Sony Michel over him. I really would.
I think I'm with you. It's because Sony Michel has looked great too.
Yeah.
Every time that he has stepped in to be able to do this. All right, how about Deontay Foreman taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Pittsburgh allows the 9th most running back points per game this season, and we talked about it earlier on. The Titans want to run the football. ESPN consensus has him as a top 25 running back here in week 15 field. Is he a flex play for you? Is he an RB2 for you?
I've got him as a flex play. I love the matchup against Pittsburgh because how could you not, right?
I mean,
the Pittsburgh run defense just got shattered last week by Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, and I'm not sure that's that much of an outlier. Like, they have just been getting pushed around. Now there are question marks about TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith's availability. Like, it's just not a good defensive front, which when was the last time you could say that about Pittsburgh? Probably like 50 years ago. The reason why I don't have Deontay Foreman higher is because he's not the guy unto himself. Last week, he had 13 carries, just 5 more than Jeremy McNichols, 7 more than Dontrell Hilliard. Like, you simply can't trust a guy who's only getting, if I do my math correctly, 47, 48% of the snaps, percent of the rushes. Like,
yeah,
you can't trust that compared to where we were with, you know, Dalvin Cook this past week, who basically got all the work for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, if that was 19 Foreman, then it would be a different story.
Yeah.
But I think I'm with you there. All right, let's talk about one more running back. Michael Carter taking on the Miami Dolphins this week. Before his injury, he was running back 10 from week 7 to 11, averaging almost 17 points per game. Like I said, taking on Miami this week. Do you think that Michael Carter kind of comes back to that player we saw a little bit earlier in the year? And are you trusting that? Is that somebody that you would play here this week?
I think so. And here's the reason why. And Matthew brought this up yesterday on the show, is that part of what made him so valuable was all these dump off passes. And if you get 6 or 7 targets in a game as a running back, it's hard for you to not be a top 25 play at the position. Like, especially if those are short, like the low depth of target type targets. Low depth of target type targets. That's a word for you.
Yeah, no, that works. That is.
But if they're dump offs and not like designed routes, right? Like, it's one thing if you've got Christian McCaffrey running 12 yards down the field. Like, the efficiency of those targets is just lesser on average than a dump off play, right? So that's what I'm banking on, because Miami's going to be able to rush the passer. They're going to be able to get after Zach Wilson throughout the game. They're going to be able to play good defense all week. I think this is a legit, this is a, like the script, I think, aligns for Michael Carter to continue to catch a bunch of passes.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I agree with that. I like Michael Carter. Yep. All right, let's talk about some pass catchers. Ja'Marr Chase taking on Denver, at least 8 targets in 5 of his past 7 games. Field, it's been a little bit up and down after a really strong start. Yeah. However, he's a guy, fantasy playoffs, you're trusting him this week as a wide in your wide receiver spot without much question.
Have to. And last week, he was the Taysom Hill of wide receivers last week because it was ugly for a while. And then in the fourth quarter, he had 3 catches, 62 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And, you know, we did a couple of things that, like, how many wide receivers in the NFL can do what a 21 or 22-year-old rookie is already doing? It's quite remarkable what Ja'Marr Chase has become for this Cincinnati offense. I'm starting him. I'm doing so with confidence, Daniel. I'm aware of the fact that Denver's got good cornerbacks, and I know Chase has been up and down recently, but there's too much upside. Too much upside. I know he's just had really one good quarter for the past month, but there's too much upside. That one quarter has enough to sort of reel me back in and feel like I'm doing so with confidence.
And I realize that it seems obvious now at this point, but it feels like this wide receiver group has absolutely shaken out, where T. Higgins has started to become that number two guy, and Tyler Boyd, as much as
he might be
Tyler
number
Boyd,
one guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd, as much as we all love him, is a great number three wide receiver for their NFL team, but for fantasy, it's just like he doesn't exist anymore.
Just remember, everybody, your fantasy team and your needs may be different than what the team values the player for. Like, Tyler 100%. Boyd's super valuable.
And we've seen him be awesome in fantasy. Yeah. It's just not what they need.
Not right now as a number three receiver as opposed to a number two or number one wide receiver.
Yeah. Phil, let's talk about a Detroit Lion. Do you mind?
Of course, I would love to.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'll tell you what, 24 targets over the last 2 weeks. That is tied for 5th in the NFL with Hunter Renfrow. That's more than Stephon Diggs and Deontay Johnson. Taking on the Arizona Cardinals here, though.
After this, I want a quick Hunter Renfrow. Not really a ranch to take. Amon-Ra St. Brown's my 35th ranked receiver on the board this week, Daniel. There's a case for him to be even higher. I am higher than the consensus ranks by almost 5 slots. And you just mentioned it, the volume is so good, right? He's a good player, obviously. He's a good young player. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to change for the Lions against Arizona, unfortunately. Like, I think this is going to be a game where they're playing from behind. If they're playing from up front, I will be so happy. I won't care about my ranks being off here. I just think the volume is going to continue to be steady for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, at this point, there was a time when, like, a Lions pass catcher was a little bit of a dart throw, right?
Sure.
Right now, it feels like it's become clearer and clearer that it's going to be St. Brown, especially if there's no T.J. Hockenson, especially if there's no DeAndre Swift or Jamal Williams, which it's too early to tell whether that's the case. But yeah, St. Brown will be, I have a hard time seeing him moving down in my ranks this week by much at all.
Agreed. I think the hardest part for me is just the fact that that offense has lower scoring potential than others. But the whole point of, when you're down by a whole lot, you get a lot of targets, which is why he's had 24 targets over the last 2 weeks. So,
quick Hunter Renfrow thought.
Do it.
He's awesome, right?
He's great.
Amazing, right, Dan? Right, Kyle? He's awesome.
As good a value as there is in the league right now.
And now it's like, okay, stop telling me he's underrated, guys. Anybody who talks about Hunter Renfrow is like, Hunter Renfrow is so freaking awesome. Except for like the 20% of the conversations that are like, Hunter Renfrow, underrated, most overlooked player in the league. It's like, we all talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally like the 10th highest scoring wide receiver in fantasy this year. He's like 6th in the NFL in catches. Like, I don't know how you can be 6th in the NFL in catches and just flying under the radar. Am I missing something here?
No, is that our fantasy bubble to some degree, though?
Perhaps. Like, it could be.
Marisa has no clue who Hunter Renfrow is.
Okay, but like, does she know who Jalen Waddle or Ja'Marr Chase is?
No, but she knows like DK Metcalf. Like, she'll know the big names, Yeah, I think to some degree it's our niche that he's a little
overlooked.
Yeah.
He's overlooked.
He's overlooked by the general public.
Okay.
I think we're not the general
public. You're bringing me back down to earth. I just feel like the bubble that I live in, it's like he's so overlooked. And I'm like, the people that are talking about him over being overlooked are talking to each other. They're not talking to Marisa in the outside world, right? You know, like, he's awesome. Like, I'd rather spin the narrative to like, where does he rank amongst the best wide receivers in football right now? Or he's extension eligible this offseason. How much is it going to cost the Raiders? Because he's going to make a whole big old bag, right? Like, what a great, like, the Raiders have had some draft misses, but they deserve tons of credit for the 5th round. Like, hello, Hunter Renfrow. Like, just an awesome football player.
How much of that is because when you talk about him being underrated is because he is just doesn't have the same talent or size or natural, you know, gifts or ability that some of these other big athletics athletic freaks have. Like, how much of it is that?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, it's because if you saw him in Walmart, you'd be like, oh, does that guy work here? Right? Like, that's not like, that's just how it is, right? Like, yeah, if you saw DK Metcalf, you'd be like, oh my God, is he like an Olympic athlete, right?
Yes.
Like, it's just the way it goes, you know? And that's how we interpret things. So, yes, I'm going to go with Hunter Renfro being awesome. How's that?
That's
worth
fair.
About $15 million a year.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
I love it.
Might be too much, but who knows? I think he's worth $15 million a year.
All right, let's talk about some Cowboys wide receivers. Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Taking on the Giants. We talked about Zeke a little bit earlier. We saw Cooper get in the end zone last week. ESPN consensus has him at 18. You have him at 19, just inside your top 20. Feeling comfortable that we've got to the point where, despite what Dak is doing at quarterback, despite some of those struggles, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are two guys that are going to be top 20 wide receivers every single week, and you're feeling comfortable about it.
It's a tough one for me. Like,
really?
I've got him to the top 20, but I don't feel super comfortable with it, right? Not because I don't love the talent. He's obviously so talented, right? He's amazing, but the numbers bear out, right? You have to go with the numbers at some point. Like, early in the year, you can write it off and you can say it's going to get going, but when he's got just one top 20 finish in the past 6 weeks, I'm sorry, just one top 20 of the position, one top 20 finish at the position since week 8. So that's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 7 weeks. I had to count that one out. Sorry. Not
that was good. No, that was okay.
And it's like, how can you not trust Kyle's numbers there for you? So I don't feel great about it, but I just know that, like, if the decision is between Amari Cooper and, I don't know, insert other wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown here, like, with all due respect to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has been better over the past couple of weeks, like, I'm still going with Amari Cooper.
But I think that's a thing. So I think I've sort of lowered expectations on Amari Cooper, but he still plays in an offense where he could score any given week, right? And he still has an awesome quarterback. You look at what the target count last week was. CeeDee Lamb had 10 targets. Michael Gallup had 9. Cooper had 7. Zeke had 6. But to that point, I'm going to play him based on his talent and that offense over a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I just think there's more upside and there's more possibility for him to be able to get in the end zone and have a bigger game there.
Also, I thought that 9 targets for Michael Gallup was pretty cool. I like that, but that was cool.
Heck yeah.
Just an aside.
Hollywood Brown taking on the Green Bay Packers. You know what, Kyle? Let's just start with you. Tell us why you think that Hollywood Brown is a top 20 wide receiver this week.
I mean, he's getting the volume, and I don't think Lamar Jackson is this bad of a passer of what we've seen lately, and I think Green Bay is going to put up a lot of points.
Oh, okay. Well, that's convenient.
Naturally, hopefully
that's
more points than the Ravens. Yeah, more points than the Ravens. But I think Hollywood could be a part of it. 4 straight finishes outside the top 25. He's getting tough to trust again. It's this ADOT thing where you have... fluctuating roles, fluctuating passing. Do I trust it? Do I not? I think I'm playing him, though, in a fantasy matchup. I think I would play him with the playoffs on the line. I think I'm putting Brown in. I'm not feeling great about it, but I'll start him.
What if, I mean, we don't see any reason why that Lamar Jackson wouldn't play this week, though, right? Field, he would just be limited?
No, he might not play. I mean, John Harbaugh continues to say he will play. But, you know, I think until we know for sure on Sunday,
John Harbaugh trustworthy, Field?
Trustworthy is the strong word, but of course he is. Yes, no, John Harbaugh 100% is very trustworthy. I just think that there's a chance that, you know, I mean, his ankle, it's an ankle.
Know.
It's a low ankle sprain.
Know.
You got to keep your eyes out for that one. So I'm going to go with he plays, but I'm reserving the right to, I mean, I think there's a chance he doesn't play. I think there's some chance. I don't know if it's a good chance, but there is some chance.
Is there a chance you're benching DK Metcalf this week?
Yeah, there is. There is.
I mean, he's taking on the LA Rams.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Russ hasn't helped. Tyler Lockett hasn't helped because Tyler Lockett's looked pretty stinking good.
Yeah.
And it looks like DK's sort of, I don't want to say forgotten, but he just, it's not the same.
For the past 5 games, where would you estimate DK Metcalf ranks amongst wide receivers?
Probably 5 games. Probably wide receiver 40. I hate to say that.
Wow, I wish. Wide receiver 70 for the past 5 games.
Are you serious?
What are you talking about? I'm not lying.
Seriously, though. I mean, this is one of those things where you talk about blind resume, right? Yeah. 5 games.
This is not one game. This is not an outlier. This is not like...
It's not about how good or bad DK Metcalf is. You know how... But like, there's something in this offense and the way that this team is running. How do you start a guy that's wide receiver 70 after the last 5 games in your fantasy lineup?
It's crazy. So I'm at 23. Probably as low as I've been on DK Metcalf all season, other than when Geno Smith was in there.
Yep.
It's still tough to bench him. It's still super tough. He's DK Metcalf, and earlier this year he was scoring a ton of touchdowns, but recently he has not been scoring touchdowns. So I've got DK Metcalf at wide receiver 23. The good news, here's the good news. He hasn't been scoring touchdowns, but Mike Clay is much better with these metrics because he literally creates them. He
does make them, yep.
Has something called OTDs, which is opportunity for touchdowns. I bet he has a better figure for DK Metcalf's OTDs recently because he has 7 end zone targets over the past 6 games. So I'm going to fall back on that and say I'm not totally out on DK Metcalf.
Okay.
But there have been some concerning metrics over the past 5 weeks.
Okay. Speaking of concerning metrics, Terry McLaurin taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, another guy that has just struggled. Taylor Heineke has not looked fantastic. He has McLaurin left last week early.
Yeah, concussion. Yeah, so we don't know if he'll play.
Yep.
And Taylor Heineke is not certain to play. We expect him to. Kyle Allen reportedly placed on the COVID-19 list just moments ago. Their backup quarterback. So obviously they're dealing with a lot of COVID issues in Washington right now. But
who would their backup be?
I believe they have, we were talking about this yesterday, Steven Montez on the practice squad. He is a rookie or second year player from Colorado. And then they just apparently are reportedly signing Jordan Tamu, who was the XFL quarterback, the guy who played at Ole Miss back in the day.
Yep.
He is being added to the practice squad, it sounds like, as of right now as well. So, yeah, it's limited. So, anyways, you factor in that. The quarterback uncertainty.
You can't not factor that
you
in.
You don't know if Terry McLaurin's going to play, but let's assume he does, right? What about the fact that he could draw Darius Slay shadow? Which Mike Clay will have more information on that tomorrow, I'm sure. I think these teams, have they played yet? Or is this their, they did the 2 times in the last 4 games. I think they do play each other twice over the next weeks.
I think that is correct. He's also been outside the top 30, 5 of the last 6 games. Another guy outside the top 30.
Makes no sense. By the way, our producer, our director, Brian, right now is watching this. Like, yeah, he's an Eagles fan. He's like, yeah, we play him twice over the next 4. We're going to spank him, too.
That's right.
Eagles could go 10-7. But this is a good, like, Matt Harrington, our producer on the show on a lot of days, and also the producer of Fantasy Football Now, just texted me, and he's like, isn't the point with DK, like, why can't, with DK Metcalf, why can't we watch them force feed the ball like we do with Devontae Adams in Green Bay and Cooper Kupp in Los Angeles and other places where it's like Cooper Kupp is the best wide receiver in football by a long shot this year. And he's still getting like 13 targets per game. Like teams are trying to counter that, right?
I just want to say really quickly to like, so Matt, I am 100% with you. DK Metcalf should have 12 targets a game. As somebody that watched Calvin Johnson, one of the best wide receivers ever, with Matthew Stafford. And the way that Matthew Stafford is now able to get Cooper Kupp the ball 15 times a game.
Unbelievable.
Why could we not do that with Calvin Johnson? That's what you should be doing with DK Metcalf.
Let it out.
Every single game. Every game you should do that.
I've got a theory here. It's going to make this one game more special for him to go with where you're going here.
Okay.
He scored twice against the Rams the first time around. He turned 24 years old yesterday.
Okay.
Is Russell Wilson giving him a birthday gift with all the targets he can handle this week for your fantasy playoffs? He's giving fantasy managers a birthday gift. He's giving DK Metcalf a birthday gift. All of everything. Seahawks win big. DK goes off. How's that sound?
I would love it.
You adjusting the rankings accordingly, Kyle?
My rankings, sure. My official off-the-board rankings, DK Metcalf is now up to wide receiver 7.
I love it.
From not ranked because I didn't have rankings.
Okay.
I'm in
7.
DK gets a birthday gift of
Russ
touchdowns.
Russ did send him a nice Twitter post yesterday about his birthday.
Sure.
It's really interesting because, like, we'll get back. We have a few. We only have, like, 1 player left anyway, so, like, Russ has been sending all these like these signals like, oh, you know, like the best is yet to come. Like, can't wait to ball out for years and years and years with this guy. It's going to be so weird when Russ is not a Seahawk by like April, you know, like, or at least if I had to guess, right? Like,
yeah, I don't want to say I feel bad for Seahawks teams, but I have a fair amount of friends that are Seahawks fans.
Yeah, totally.
And it's, you know, whenever a team loses for any team, whenever a team loses what has been their franchise quarterback. And it's like, all right, we're going back into it. As a team that has not had that franchise quarterback that's been like a playoff caliber guy for, you know, the roster sucked. It's not Matthew Stafford's fault. But like, it's a thing, man. Like, it's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough right now, man. It's tough. It's
enjoy what you have. Be thankful. Realize how good you have it when you have it. Be thankful for the things that you have.
True. 100%.
Let's get to a couple more here, Daniel. You want to do that?
Let's talk about Michael Pittman.
Okay. This is a good one too, because, and I think, Mike Clay will have more on this tomorrow. Okay. So we'll make sure that we leave some meat on the bone, but they play the Patriots on Saturday. Again, two games on Saturday, Raiders, Browns in Cleveland, Patriots, Colts in Indianapolis. So that's the nightcap. J.C. Jackson's a bad man. He's a bad man. Right now, like, the likelihood of you completing a pass when targeting J.C. Jackson is less than the likelihood of you not completing a pass. So
really?
Not good idea to throw it his way. I don't, and there sounds like there's a possibility of a shadow. So I've got Michael Pittman at 24. ESPN consensus ranks are 27. Matthew has him at 30. Maybe a little bit of a, maybe an opportunity for me to readjust my rankings a little bit here. Little bit.
You know, I wonder, Field. Yeah. I think that's a little high for me.
I mean, he's got a good target share, right? 24.2 target share. That's legit, right?
Well, let's do this live. Field, you've got him at 24. You've got Cooks, Brandon Cooks at 25. You want Cooks over Pittman?
Against Jacksonville, yeah, I do. I should probably do this.
Okay. How about Devontae Parker against the Jets?
Yeah, probably should move behind them too. Yeah.
Chase Claypool against the Titans. How far would you?
Yeah, that's one more. Okay, one more. But then we'll get to the close point, though.
Gage against the Niners?
I'll stick with Pittman over Gage.
So you're, I agree with that.
So 27, 28, yeah. Somewhere in that range. Just a slight discount just because of, again, J.C. Jackson's a real deal. The Patriots have been awesome defensively, obviously. The Colts, I think, are going to want to run the ball. They're going to be their strategy every single time. I know, believe it or not, right? But fun game on Saturday night. Looking forward to this one.
I want to say this one more time, and I know nobody else cares but me, but I also drafted in this fantasy Madden league that I do with Mike Rustin.
Sure.
Jonathan Taylor is my running back.
Are you undefeated?
I actually lost three games this year.
What?
We implemented a bunch of pretty strict rules because we've been playing for so long, even playing on all Madden. Like, you just learn certain things that it's pretty easy to do.
Humble brag.
So we've made it. It's not a humble brag when you've been playing for 12 years and you're not very good. But we made some rules so that you couldn't do certain things. But Jonathan Taylor is just amazing. Oh my gosh, I freaking love him. I loved him already, and now playing with him in Madden, it's just fun to be able to.
Of course, it's super fun.
Players like that. All right.
You know, actually, is like legitimately as fun to play in Madden. Actually, more fun to play with in Madden than he is in real life right now. Is Kyle Pitts, Daniel?
Absolutely, dude. Yeah. As a tight end, especially the speed that he has, that freak physical ability. Last week was his first top 10 finish since week 7. Field. That's not great. But we're glad that he was inside the top 10. Do you see him this week against San Francisco in a good matchup?
My thought here is some, but not enough. That's what I keep coming back to with Kyle Pitts. And here's the reason why. He's got 5 or more targets in 10 straight games. Okay, like you do the math over the course of a season, that's at least 85 targets in a 17-game season. It's not ignoring him, but it's also not featuring him as much as you'd like, right?
You like that.
So some, but not enough. And that's, I want more. I want more from the Falcons. I want more from Kyle Pitts. He's so talented. And I think probably at this point of the season, if you're banking on something that clearly hasn't happened through the first 14 weeks, then the guess is that it's not going to happen week 15 or 16 or 17. So he is inside my top 10 at tight end, more because of the fact that there are so few tight ends once again. His last red zone target, not even an end zone target, but a red zone target came in week 9, all the way back in week 9 against the Saints. He had 8 red zone targets, by the way, in the first 5 games of the season. It's weird. It's bizarre right now. I don't know how this Falcons team is 6-7. I have no idea. Good on them. But man, tough watch. They play at San Francisco on Sunday. I really hope Kyle Pitts gets the ball more frequently.
Me too, man. That whole, and I know we made, I know I was just talking about Rothstein, so I apologize about this, but like, I know we made jokes during the year, but like, for him to go from covering the Lions to then covering the Falcons, and like, even though the Falcons are 6-7, it's been such a crazy season for them.
Yeah, it has been.
And Ryan is not good. They're not using Kyle Pitts the way that they should. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson is crazy. I freaking love the idea of positionless football with Cordarrelle Patterson.
He's like, the best, man.
Him and Deebo Samuel, like, yes. Let's figure out, it's going to be awful for fantasy to figure out what that means. Like, when guys start doing hybrid wide receiver running back roles,
right.
But like, just an offensive weapon. Yeah. Just put the ball in his hands and do it. I freaking love that for Cordarrelle Patterson.
I'm with you on that. And at least Mike's got to live in cool places. Like, I'm a Detroit stan and I'm an Atlanta fan as well. Like, these are places to live for Mike. So that about wraps it up. Anything you want to get off your mind right now, off your chest?
I went down to New York last weekend to see a couple friends of mine. Yep. My friend Kaylee, who I knew for a long time back home from Michigan. I grew up with her and her boyfriend Addison. My girlfriend Rosie and I went down there to see him. And I got to tell you, it's been a long time since I've like gone out and done a thing. Like we haven't gone to the city since, you know, all of everything happened. It was really fun just to like see old friends and do a thing. They live in Portland, Oregon. So they flew across the country. So like when people fly over, it's like, man, I got to make the trip to see you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that.
And so it was really fun to be able to do that. I had a blast. However, then got, I feel like real run down after that. And so, which is why I've been out the last 2 days. I got tested. Everything came back negative. So I was just been feeling under the weather.
Feeling better now.
I appreciate you guys holding down the fort so unbelievably well, in spite of Matthew doing both the Monday and Tuesday show.
I know. It was a miracle.
I know that I really set you guys up for failure there. And I really appreciate the way that you came through.
Appreciate that very much. Always great stuff here. By the way, Terrence, great job. Your first day producing the show today. You crushed it. No surprise.
Nice job, buddy.
Excellent staff. Looking forward to more. For Daniel and Kyle, I am Field. Back Thursday with Stefania, Mike Clay, Daniel, Kyle, myself, wide receiver cornerback matchups at Thursday Night Football Preview, and, of course, the latest on all the news. Everybody be well. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Peace out. Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien. He's in Field's crew. The deepest voice you'll ever hear. From a man without a beard, he's thirsty. Kyle, when you need a book report, call Thirsty Kyle. Filling in for Secret Squirrel, he's thirsty.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.